the external world, which you might call the macrocosm, the cosmos in the largest sense in which we can conceive of it, the personality or the microcosm, our own micro world, the micro world of our own selves, and then this world of ritual that mediates in some way between the personality and the larger world, the world of ritual, the world of sacrifice. I like to call it simply the mesocosm, the world that lies in the middle between the personality and this larger structure of the cosmos. Once these three essential realities had been identified, the Upanishadic sages made an enormous imaginative leap, and a leap that was really just profoundly significant in the history of Indian religion. They said that all three were aspects of the same thing. When I speak to classes about this in my own classroom, I turn around and I rush to the blackboard where I've put down Atman and Sat and Brahman on the board, and I draw little equation signs between each one of these things to show that each one of these is identified with the others. All of these are words in the Upanishads that name a single reality, one great reality out of which all of the world comes. This doctrine of one reality is called Upanishadic monism, the view that all of reality is one. Now, Upanishadic monism, this great doctrine in the Upanishads, can be expressed in a number of different ways, ways that are important to know about and give you some of the flavor of this tradition. One way is simply to assert it positively as the nature of your own self. And one of the classic sources of this way of expressing Upanishadic monism is in a story of a father and a son, a Brahmin priest, a Vedic student. The father's name is Aruni. The son's name is Shwetaketu. Aruni says to Shwetaketu, when he reaches a certain age, it's time for now, time for you now to get going, to get on out there, go to school, and study the Vedic tradition. You need to become a learned Brahmin like the other members of your family. Shwetaketu goes off, does his study, comes back at the age of 24, as the text says, puffed up, full of self-importance. Can't imagine that would happen to any of you, but full of self-importance, full of a sense of confidence in his own knowledge. And his father sits him down the way fathers do and says, okay, kid, tell me what you know. Have you heard anything about the principle of substitution? You can hear this moment of puzzlement in the text as Shwetaketu says, well, they actually didn't mention that to me in school. That wasn't part of our curriculum. And Aruni then sits Shwetaketu down and begins to instruct him about the ways he can sew together all of the diverse pieces of his knowledge into a sense of the unity of the cosmos. He begins like this. He says, okay, Shwetaketu, it is like this. By means of one lump of clay, one must perceive everything that is made of clay. The transformation is a verbal handle, a name, while the reality is just this. Everything made of clay is just clay. And then he takes this intuitive principle and he applies it to different areas of life. In one particular passage that's widely quoted in discussions of the Upanishads, it becomes almost like a kind of philosophical poetry. He says, "The bees, my dear son, prepare honey by gathering the nectar of different trees and reducing that nectar to a unity so that the nectar from each different tree is not able to differentiate. I am the nectar of this tree, or I am the nectar of that tree. In exactly the same way, my son, when all creatures merge into reality, they are not aware We are merging into reality.